everybody. Welcome to Cage Fire Radio. Tonight we don't have our normal producer, so I'm going to do my best to fill in. We're going to have an open line show tonight. First off, I would like to bring in the host herself, the hostess with the mostest, Miss Caitlin. Miss Caitlin, how are you tonight, young lady?
I'm great. Man, what an intro, the hostess with the mostest. I'm going to have to tell Carl to stick with that one.
Well, let's start with another great intro, and we'll bring in your your wingman, your partner in crime, the sea monster himself. It's amazing, I'm the reason everybody fired up this evening. I'm exhausted, barely breathing, holding on to what I believe, and no matter what, you'll never take that from me.
What up?
Hi, Sam. Sam, you know what you need to do?
What?
You need to get, like, some freestyle rap for the sea monsters, like your intro song.
I know, I was trying to get B-Rad to rap for me.
Yeah, you need to get some, like, serious hardcore, like, freestyle sea monster rap.
He's a sea monster. He'll do it like no other. Getting in the
not
cage.
That bad. Not
rain.
That bad.
Hey, before we get too crazy into the show, let me give a big shout-out to some great sponsors. Everybody, BrawlBase.com. Get out there and check out Reed Parker and the boys. Man, they're doing big things from coast to coast and around the world for fighters. Also, you want to have that grill looking pretty after a nasty war in the cage? Step up and get clinched at GetClinched.com. Best custom mouth guards in the business, without a doubt. Go talk to that company. You'll see what I mean, dude. Personable service, fast, best quality mouth guards. Doesn't matter what sport you're in, from basketball to boxing, from gymnastics to backyard karate. Get them all, man. Get clinched at GetClinched.com. You guys, we're going to do open lines tonight, so you two guys kick back for a minute and start talking, because I've already got a lot of people calling in, and I need to kind of see what's going on, so I'll let you guys run with it.
Alrighty, awesome. So, Sam, do you want to talk about your latest vlog?
My latest vlog about that vlog?
What was that? PGTV?
For Peter, for George, for Timothy, and for Bob.
Yeah, well, okay, that's awesome. I'm glad you could spell that out for me and give me some examples, too.
You're welcome, Schmalcolm.
So do you want to talk about a little bit about your brand then and what you talked about on your vlog in case people missed it?
Yeah, PGTV is Thick Gear Tough Bowl. It's a brand created by Ruben and Alejandro. Basically, every purchase you buy of his gear, he's got sweatshirts, zip-up, beanies, like a whole bunch of stuff, decals for your car. Every percentage, for every item bought, there's a percentage given to bully breed dog awareness. And, like, there's a lot of bully breed dogs out there that people don't know, like bulldogs, pit bulls, Great Danes, Dalmatians, Chow Chows, they're all bully breed dogs. And then he also donates a percentage to bully awareness. So he's a person with a cause. And he's
awesome.
His brand is really cool. So if you guys go to pgtv.net, you can go look it up. I'm going to have, like, a little code on my next blog, hopefully, that you can type in and get a, like, 10% discount with. So.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Hey, guys. First person we're going to bring on is actually an old friend of the show. Some Florida representatives in the house tonight. He's one of the hosts on a show called Full Guard Fight Radio out of Florida. You guys all know Matthew. Matthew, how you guys doing? How you doing down in Florida tonight?
I'm doing awesome, Bob. I just had you call in when I heard it was open lines. I was like, man, I can't have open lines on Cage Fire and not call up Caitlin and give her a hard time.
Yeah, it's because you miss me, huh?
Maybe a little bit, but not
maybe,
much.
Okay, I knew you missed me. I miss you, too, a little bit sometimes.
Yeah,
and you
probably
want to
all the time when you realize how awesome I am on Full Guard Fire Radio. Hey, Sea Monster.
What up?
Hey, man. I got to say it's good to see you posting pictures in your nice new Fear the Fighter shirt, which means you're up and out and you're healing and getting better. That's awesome. I'm glad for that. But how are you going to go out and buy a Fear the Fighter shirt and it not be for Ethan Lionheart Blevins, the future of the sport?
I didn't buy that shirt. It was a Christmas gift.
Oh, well, then I need to talk to whoever bought you the shirt and tell them to have better taste.
That's a crazy story. Do you guys know about that deal with Ethan? He's the only kid that I know of anywhere in the world that has got his own clothing MMA line.
Any sport, yep. The only kid to have his own clothing line by a major apparel company. And I can tell you firsthand, because I train with the kid, he is no joke. He is, my first week there, I questioned my manhood after this 7-year-old was putting me through this rigorous training.
Wait. You went in to train?
I've been training for 2 months there. I'm at Gator MMA Monday through Friday, 2 to 3 hours a day with some of the best guys in all of the sport. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
You're gonna get in the cage then? Are you gonna do it?
I'm not gonna get in the cage. I am gonna compete.
Okay.
I am looking to do jiu-jitsu tournaments and stuff. That's what I'm training. But in the cage, no. I will continue to keep my wonderful seat cage side outside of the cage, keeping my blood inside my body.
Oh, man.
That's cool.
How's it going then? Do you like it?
I love it. I tell you, I talk about them all the time because they're one of our sponsors for Full God Fight Radio, and we do some awesome partnership with those guys. But, all business aside, it's just awesome, guys. There's such diversity in the training crew. Anybody who wants to go listen to last week's episode of Full God Fight Radio, we actually interviewed the entire gym, like, about 4 of the fighters, 5 or 6 of the coaches, talked with all of them. There have been some recent changes in Gator MMA. A couple of people have parted ways and moved on. They won't be part of Gator anymore. But we're moving forward with the current coaching staff, and Daniel Blevins is still the owner-operator. And it's just a new day for Gator. It's going to be a great time there. But I love it. It puts my body through some tests that I never thought were possible, but it's awesome. I'm learning little by little, getting tapped out by anybody and everybody, but
that's awesome.
Better and better.
A gym around here was, they were actually doing a deal in, I think it was November, for women to come in that were 18 and up, and they were doing free classes, and they were talking about doing it again in the new year. I was thinking about doing it. That'd be pretty cool.
Hey, you know what, Caitlin? Do it. It's the best decision I've ever made. I have a swollen left foot, and I don't know why. I'm in pain in places I didn't know I had, but whenever I wake up the next day, I know my body is better than it was the day before, and it's awesome. It's awesome to tap somebody out. I've tapped somebody out like twice, and it's an amazing
feeling to finally get that first
tap out.
Empowered to tap somebody out and be like, look at this little person, I just tapped you out. I don't know,
it'd
be really like extra awesome.
There's a girl I roll with. Her name's Krista Marty. She competes in jiu-jitsu, and her son is actually the trainee partner of Ethan Blevins, and both of them are future fighters. But me and Krista, we roll a lot, and we train together a lot. She's about 50 pounds lighter than I am, but the coolest, the best feeling is when I'll get her in a lock, and I'll kind of flip her body over to where I'm in top, and I'm in side control. It accomplishes nothing, but it really feels cool, and it makes me feel a little bit cool inside, a little bit cooler than I already know that I am. But
oh, of course. I know. I knew you couldn't come on Cage Fire and not, brag about yourself a little bit.
I was thinking about taking over and just having Skippy cutting you off and me just finish the show out.
Oh, okay. Sure. Why don't we just do that then?
I'm going to get out of here. I just wanted to call it. I will say, though, anybody listening, Daniel Blevins, the head coach at Gator, he puts out this challenge for anybody that can come in and last an hour and a half with Ethan. And that goes for you too, Sea Monster. If you think you're up to it, once you're healed and all ready to go, anybody who wants to come in and try and keep up with the Ethan challenge for an hour and a half, and now keep in mind, he's only 7 years old. If you can keep up with Ethan for an hour and a half, you'll get 2 free months at the gym. And that goes out to anybody who wants to take up that challenge. I wish you the best of luck, and bring a vomit bucket, because you will be throwing up before that hour and a half is over. So outside of that, just keep up with Full Guard Fight Radio. You know, we the Madhouse family, we are never stopping. We're ever growing. And, I'm glad you guys are doing great on the show. I'm glad that the Sea Monster and you, Caitlin, are teamed up here, and that Skippy is helping you guys out. I love all the Madhouse family. And
thanks for coming on.
I got some of – what's that?
I said thanks for coming on and calling in.
Hey, not a problem. I got some stuff coming up. Keep up with the MMA Madhouse. We're covering events everywhere. So you guys have a good night, all right? Sea Monster, take it easy, man. Get better.
All right, man. Thanks.
Hey, no problem. Skippy, I'll talk to you soon, man. You guys have a great night.
You too.
All right, peace out.
Man. Well, he definitely misses Cage Fire. That must be the only reason he called in.
You want to know why he called in?
Why?
Me and him have a little kind of friendly competition of who's the
radio.
Oh, yeah,
you guys do about, like, hair dyeing or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to issue another challenge about whose radio show is better, Full Guard Fight Radio or
Cage
Fire
Radio. Oh,
well,
that'd be no competition.
I know. I mean,
obviously, it's the Lady Rand show.
Yeah.
I'm just
kidding.
You're gutsy. I could never do what you do to your hair. Like, I had probably 4 inches cut off a week ago, and I almost cried. I could never.
Hair.
Yeah.
I'll make a bet with you about hair if you want to
Heck
make a
no.
bet.
Heck no. I'm not making any
Why
bets
not?
On live radio.
How about this? If you make a bet with me, Mike, your counter bet can be, like, going and approaching a hobo, or you can tase me or something.
You would like that, though, Sam. Anything that you
no,
bet me that I would be something that I don't like.
No, those are my two biggest fears. I'm afraid of hobos and tasers. I don't like
really?
Being
I
like
didn't know you're afraid of hobos.
Hobos?
Yeah, I'm terrified of hobos. Hobos, yeah.
I don't either.
Like,
well,
one time I handed a hobo change, and I thought he was going to stab me with a meth needle. So.
Wow. Hey, guys, we got another caller in line. We're going to bring on Dave Cruchane. He is a badass pro fighter. Dude, you guys got to check this out. Obviously, you guys know a little bit about him. How you doing tonight, buddy?
Not bad, not bad. Just hanging out at the gym.
Awesome. Welcome to Cage Fire Radio.
Hi, how's it going?
It's good. How about yourself?
Not bad, not bad. Just doing some paperwork in the office here at the gym.
Oh, good. That's always fun.
Yeah, just wait for 8 o'clock and my second workout of the day.
So, cool.
Yeah.
So, do you want to give a short bio about yourself then for people that are not as familiar with you?
Yeah, my name is Dave Insane Cruchane. My first fight ever was in 2003, right out of college, against Eddie Ellis, tough dude. Taught me that there's tougher people out there than me at that time, you know. And before that, I wrestled. I was a wrestler of the decade in Washington. I won state a couple times. Been fighting for out of Spokane with some great fighters, Tony McKenzie, Lyle Beerbaum, Mike Kia. So just a great group of guys to get tough with. So,
awesome.
We're in Spokane.
Hey. Dave, you just said you were sitting at the gym. What gym are you sitting at right now?
Right now, I'm actually at school of boxing and MMA. I've kind of moved from gym to gym, just go wherever the tough guys are. I've actually helped a few of my friends build a nice facilities for us to work out. Over here in Spokane, we have a sauna, full size cage to work out in all the time. We get all kinds of great pros coming through. From Coeur d'Alene, we've had Trevor Fringley come in a couple times. We've had Chauncey Welliver, a good boxer. I mean, we've had just some great athletes, Misha Tate, Brian Carroll. I mean, I can name names forever, but it's just a great facility for any pro to come work out.
Now, one of the co-hosts on this show, normally Sam, he's a little quiet tonight because he's actually traveling while he's trying to do the show. He's not lucky enough to be sitting in a studio, but, you know, I got to say, for somebody like Sam and the students you're working with now at Spokane School of Boxing, man, wrestler of the decade in Washington, I mean, let's be honest, bro. There are some major, major names that have come out of that state wrestler-wise. Dude, that's got to be a sick, sick honor to have, bro.
I didn't even know it, tell you the truth, and then I heard a few rumors, and then I got on the predictor, and then I just looked up some websites, and they mentioned me, and then they gave me the 152. I actually won state at 145 in 2000, undefeated, and then I won it again in 2001, undefeated. And then I beat a couple of the other state champs. My coaches kind of wanted me to lose, per se. Not really wanted me. I just kind of had a big head, should I say. And I beat a couple other state champs. I beat the 171 tri-state champ. They wrestled me up at 189. I mean, I've always gone against bigger people my whole life. I mean, my brother wrestled. He was a state competitor. I mean, he's a heavyweight now, a heavyweight pro, so I've always competed against a bigger, stronger athlete my whole life.
Now, with you having the ability to take that big, swollen head, lose shortly thereafter to Eddie, was that to you probably one of the most important losses in your career?
You know, honestly, it was. It was some humble pie. I mean, I actually showed up. Long story short, I showed up to fight Dennis Holman, and I was a young, dumb kid thinking I was on top of the world. I mean, they gave me Eddie Ellis, and he gave me – and back then you're allowed to knee the head when you're amateur. And he kneed me probably 30 seconds into it. I kind of thought about taking him down. He kneed me right through my head, split my face open. From there we had a good fight going for a while. Then it stopped in the second. You know, I stopped. I didn't know what was going on by then. I mean, I survived the first round with him. Second round, I did really good. I knew I didn't want to go to the ground because I didn't know anything per se. So, but now I feel comfortable. I've been around the game enough. You know, especially coming off some big wins this year. I've won out the last six fights. You know. Especially some boxing. I turned pro boxing last few years ago. So that's been a different aspect of fighting for me, too.
Well, you know, Caitlin, I'm going to jump in front real quick because I know Sam's kind of preoccupied, it sounds like, so I'm muting
him
real quick on his microphone. But I've got to ask you, talking about your fights and now mentioning your, you know, resurgence as of late on this killer win streak, what's the one fight you want back?
You know, I think everybody knows it, but the Coble fight, you know, that was kind of, actually, I want it back, but I don't want it back because it was kind of some motivation in the middle of my career. Coming off of that, you know, I thought I tapped him. I have video. I looked at it yesterday of him tapping, and then I let him go, and they said he didn't tap. It was a controversial thing at the Rumble at the Ridge a few, it was last year in June, I want to say, a year ago.
May.
A year ago.
May 14th.
A little over a year ago. 2 years ago almost.
Yeah.
A year and a half. But, yeah, it was a tough loss for me because, you know, at the time, you know, I thought I was doing good. You know, I was coming back and I was feeling strong and I made 55. You know, he missed weight. So I was kind of upset about that. And I just, you know, it just the stars didn't shine on my ass that night, I guess.
I could jump in really quick. How disappointing is it when your competitor doesn't make weight or doesn't meet weight?
You know, honestly, I don't care. You know, they gave me some extra money, so it was like it more frustrated me that at the time, you know, I'm sitting there jumping rope, you know, in my sauna suit, cutting my last 2 pounds, and he's sitting over there not doing nothing. So I figured he was at weight, and then he was like 7 over.
Yeah. So
but,
do you?
You know, it's just part of the game.
Do you think that there should be, since you guys are at the pro level, do you think that there should be some sort of penalization to that, or?
You know,
like, should it be taken more seriously?
They should take it more serious, you know. Honestly, I've missed weight, you know, myself, so I don't want to really jump on the bandwagon of, like, chewing people out for it, because I've missed weight in the past. So it's like, we're all human, so it's just like, you know, stuff happens, you know, it's as long as you don't miss weight by, like, 15 pounds, 12 pounds. There's got to be, I think it's like a 10-pound, within 10 pounds you got to be, you know, up the weight to be allowed to fight. I think that's reasonable. You know, some guys do gorge. I've had moments where I've gorged myself 7 pounds. And I'm like,
wow.
Oh, it happens, you know. Us fighters, man, I cut weight pretty – I walk around naturally at, like, 174. So when I'm making 55, I'm like an emotional wreck, should I say, when I'm cutting weight sometimes. You know, I walk by the wrong drinking fountain, and I'm like sitting there for a minute. I'm like, dang it, pull yourself away, you know.
What do you think was your worst loss?
My worst loss, you know, my pro debut, tell you the truth, like, it was just a nightmare. It was a nightmare. I mean, it was like the worst dream you could ever imagine. You know, I got a call to fight for Strikeforce, right? And, I mean, I'm like, I was super excited. I was stoked to fight for Strikeforce. You know, I was going to go over there. But I was fighting a tough guy, and I don't mind. But I'll fight anybody, anytime. They're going to pay me the money. I'll show up, and I'll fight. I'll put on a show. That's who I am. I bring that, like, that wow factor. Like, wow, this kid's really getting it, you know what I mean? That's who I am. That's why, you know, you live and die in the cage. You know, someone must someone must quit, someone must end. You know what I mean? It's just, that's just the rule. You know, I don't like decisions. And
yeah.
I fought Nathan Coy was who I showed up to fight. I think he was like 7-0, 6-0.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like a 2-day notice fight. I've never been one to turn down a fight on short notice. I mean, I've taken fight back-to-back weekends. I mean, 7 days apart, you know, I mean, as a
yeah.
pro. You know. So, and I showed up to, and I mean, Bob Sapp was there. So, I mean, I was all starstruck by, like, the weigh-ins and everything. And I called Frank Trigg. I remember calling Frank Trigg. I thought he was Kurt Angle. I was just so, I mean, it was pretty funny. I mean, it was, and then the Mo was right there, that black guy, Mo Smith or whatever. He was right there. He's like, yeah, go talk to Kurt Angle. I was like, oh, no. I was like, it was a moment. I mean, and then to top it off, I show up the next day we fight. I was the first fight of the night, right? I didn't know what the card was. I ended up being the first fight, and then they're on time. So I'm like, I didn't get enough time to warm up per se, but I thought I was all right. I go out there, and when I weigh-ins, I weighed in against a guy that looked, you know, small. You know, he had a beard and a full head of hair. So I was like, oh, that guy's not, he doesn't look that bad. You know, he always sized each other up at weigh-ins.
Yeah.
And then he comes out, I look across the ring, and I thought I was looking at George St. Pierre. This guy's bald. It's not the same guy. He's all ripped out. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? It's not the same guy. This guy's huge. I mean, Nathan Coy is just, the way he recovers is amazing. I mean, I've talked to him about it. I mean, I was thoroughly impressed. I was like, oh, my God. So he comes across the ring, and we're banging it out, right? And then he puts me on the fence, tries to take me down. I stuffed his takedown, put him on the fence, go to take him down, and all of a sudden the lights, like a power outage, a power surge, and the lights go out. And all of a sudden it was pitch black. I mean, in the Tacoma Dome, too, of all places. And then, I mean, it was just dead silent. I thought I got knocked out from something, some fluke thing. And I was like, damn it, I got knocked out. Everything's black. And all of a sudden I hear everybody talking. And I was like, shit, it was just a power outage. And I didn't want to let go of him. You know, it was pitch black. I wasn't
yeah.
letting go of him. And I thought I had position on the ground. And Charlie Pearson or Charlie someone was the referee, and they turned on two floodlights. Like, and I remember there being two spotlights. It reminded me of like a bad venue that I fought at as an amateur in Montana or something, you know. And it turned on two little floodlights, so it's like all these shadows. So Jason comes out just swinging. He throws a big right hook. I go to duck it, and I run right into it. And it hit me like square in my face. And at that moment, I saw sound, and I was like, oh no. And, I mean, it was over. I mean, he just put me out. It hit me square in my face. I mean, I fell. I couldn't get my hands up. I remember trying to reach to get your hands up, catch yourself. And my hands weren't moving. I hit my face even harder, breaking my nose on the ground.
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. That sounds pretty damn horrible.
That was one of the best stories I've ever heard on the show, man.
I mean, well, I hope you have me back, man. I have all kinds of good ones about all kinds of good fighters. I mean, I've been hanging out with some great guys. I mean, I have some good memories hanging out with, like, Mike. I remember Mike Chiesa came back from the Ultimate Fighter. I mean, Mike's one of my good friends. I've known him since his first fight. I mean, he's awesome. I mean, I've seen him grow leaps and bounds. I mean, on the show alone, he was just, every week, he was just tremendously better. I mean, just his heart, everything he was going through. And I remember he came back from the show, and he came to my fight against Craig Jackson. And I remember when he first got back, I was fighting Craig Jackson. Craig Jackson was a tough, tough All-American wrestler from Highline. And I knew I had a good fight going into it, and Mike was there. And Mike, the night after weigh-ins, Mike's like, oh, you get a hotel room? And he's like, no, I'm just going to hang out with you and Ryan. And me and Ryan only had one room. And when me and Ryan walked in the room, there was only one bed. And Ryan looked back at Ryan Mobenhill, looked back at me. He's like, we've been here before. And I'm like, oh, man. He's like, don't ever say that to me. You know, all the fighters, you know, you always have to share beds when you fight, when you're in the fighting, you're in the circuit, you know, at the smaller shows, you know, a lot of the fighters, a lot of the teams, they share the same rooms. You might have a guy on the floor, you might have a guy on the couch, you know. Well, there happened to be me and Ryan Mobley on the bed, and Mike Chiesa was there, and I was like, there's no way we're doing three in the bed. There's just no way. So Mike, I wake up the next morning, and I end up going to bed first, and Mike, the Ultimate Fighter, was sleeping on the, I mean, how humble of a guy was he? He was sleeping on the little love seat, and it was like, I looked over, I remember taking a picture of it, just like, I was like, just remember, just seeing him grow so much, and just having them back is awesome. But yeah.
So, what's on your plate?
Yeah, I've won a lot lately. I mean, last two Rumble the Ridges, I can't really find a fight right now. I mean, and one of my good friends, Will Big Medicine, got me a fight over in Hawaii. I think in Honolulu or Hawaii. And it's in Hawaii. But it's against Ronald the Machine Gun. So, tough UFC vet. I mean, I am stoked. I know it's not at the weight I wanted at. It's at 70. You know, I'd prefer to fight at 55. Lately, I've been fighting at 50, at 70, 75, 80. My last fight against David Anderson was at 80. So it's just like I take whatever they'll give me. But I'm kind of stoked about this one. I mean, I got 5 weeks to train, put a camp together. Never really been able to do that.
Dude, that's cool.
I don't know.
That's great.
I know. It's just like everything's coming together. You know, I've had some ups and downs. I know I came out and lost my first two pro fights and came back six, and lost two more and came back and been on another win streak. So it's a good feeling, you know, with fighting, you get your ups and downs. You know, just stick with it, I guess. This is what I do. I can't really do much else. I'm good at roofing, but I don't want to wear my roofing bag my whole life.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Caitlin. I jumped into queue real quick. I cut out for a second. I'll tell you what. I'm super excited to see what you've been doing. I think it's great that you're getting back on a tear. You go over there, take out another opponent. You know, I'll be honest. You know, you mentioned the guy earlier. Obviously, Nathan Coy. You know, he's obviously right now making big waves. MFC. You know, whipping. I mean, honestly, I felt like that he really tore Diego Lima apart in that fight more than anybody ever has. But, you know, then to come in there and just destroy Ryan McGillivary in the third round, you know, to where they had to stop the fight, you know, for him to win the title. Is that a route you'd like to see maybe go back to a bigger show like that? Like, you know, I know you got Touch Base and Strikeforce, but would you like to get to the MFCs or maybe a 1FC or something along those lines?
Yeah, I would. Man, I would love to fight anywhere. Like I was saying, man, I take it one fight at a time. You know, I try not to get too far ahead of myself. But, yeah, after this fight, you know, whoever calls me first, I guess that's who I go with. You know, it's just that's just the name of the game before you get to the bigger shows. You know, I'm starting to get better management now, so it's just I'm getting my name out there. You know, if I just got, you're only as good as your last fight, so as long as you're winning, you know, just keep it going.
Well, you know, there's a lot
fight
of people
on
out
any
there.
Of those.
Yeah, well, a lot of people out there believe you're considered probably the best 155er, if not also the best 170er in the Pacific Northwest today. So, you know, that gives you a lot of options. I would believe, you know, once you're going over there and taking out a UFC vet, you know, we, you know, definitely should try to get you on some, you know, on the show again after that fight and maybe campaign towards, you know, Mark Pavlicek in the MFC or, you know, maybe the guys seeing that 1FC has a home base now in the Pacific Northwest, you know, and maybe, you know, get you on the show and tag it up a lot, make sure it's a special episode where we can make sure they're getting blasted, maybe to, you know, say, hey, look, you know, look what I've been doing. I've been tearing it up.
That's kind of like my theory on it. Is like, as long as if I keep whipping, people ask me all the time, like, how do you train with these guys? How do you do good against some of these guys, you know, And it's like, when's it my turn? You know, when's it your shot? You know, I had never had a chance to go on Ultimate Fighter and get my name out there that way. So I'm kind of going the back way. And, you know, and I don't mind taking the back door in to the big show. You know, it's just sometimes you just got to work a little harder for it. You know, it'll mean more to me when I'm there, I guess. You know, it's just.
Well, we would definitely love to have you on, you know, maybe even, you know, if we can find time before your next fight or after it, if not, and, you know, do an episode to where we can push it all week, having you on, you know, and really sit down and delve into your record because, you know, tonight was more of an open, you know, call line, so we really didn't have a chance to push it because we didn't know who all was going to be calling in, but we'd love to try to help you out with that, you know?
Oh, man, I really appreciate that. Yeah, and if you want, man, you can send me a patch to my gym. I can give you my address, and I can throw a patch on my shorts for my fight coming up. I don't really have too many sponsors. You know, yet, you know, but
well,
anybody that helps me out, I'm more than willing to do as much as I can for them.
Awesome.
Well, we'll see what we can do. You know, definitely get you like a heat transfer patch or something up to you. Because
yeah.
I believe you're fighting January 16th, so or 19th, I mean. And
the 19th, I believe.
Yeah, the 19th.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let me definitely work on that and get you something. I know that I can get a hold of Jeff and get you, you know, what
yeah.
we need. I really appreciate that. And I appreciate you taking the time tonight. Before we wrap this up, I wanted you to have a chance to give out any shout-outs, any social media for all the new fans out there. Cause I know we got one in the Midwest right now who is listening, who's probably never heard of you. So, you know, any sponsors, any social media, any family, friends,
yeah,
whatever, go ahead and take it.
I always want to thank my mom first. You know, she's the reason why I'm here. My beautiful fiance, Kara Solomon, without her, I probably wouldn't have the drive to get to the gym without a strong lady behind you saying, get your ass to the gym, get out of here, what are you doing home? You know, it's always nice having that. My daughter for giving me the inspiration. Clinch for helping me. Man, I've been taking some big shots this year, and Clinch mouth guards, man. I tell you, all my friends wore them for years, and I always wore the Walmarts because I always, you know, it just happened that way. I got one of these Clinch custom mouth guards, and I keep one in every bag just in case I don't have one for when I decide to just roll around. Good Revenue's been there since the beginning. You know, they've always been there for my shirts. Couple good guys. Nuka, my chiropractor, I mean, taking care of my neck so I can train hard. I mean, Vince is a great guy. I mean, the Team Spokane, the School of Boxing. Dennis, good friend of mine that's been there, kind of the life coach. My hands coach, Mike Howe, he runs the man shop. He helps me get some haircuts. Besides that, I want to thank you guys for having me on your show, man. It's been awesome. Had some good laughs. Brought back some good memories. Besides that, I want to thank all the fans. In the Midwest, I might be having a fight over there in Virginia in March. Someone was telling me about a fight possible, but I don't know yet. But hopefully I can get back there. And I'd like to see some Midwest wrestlers. I mean, I have a lot of regrets from college, should I say. Get some damn leg riders.
Leg riders, I love that.
Oh man, you know, those guys could ride some legs back there. I mean, Pennsylvania guys. I mean, I've watched a guy from Pennsylvania. That was a good leg rider. I was out of But I just want to appreciate. Thank you guys for the time to talk to me.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for coming on and calling in.
No problem. Thank you again.
And I will definitely get a hold of you on a personal
yeah.
to get you a show booked again so we can really promote you and do a whole episode on you and have the correct time to do it to try to help you for all the you know, love
okay.
your show on us tonight.
And then if I wanted to hear the recording of this, where would I look for it?
As soon as this show's done, we'll get it edited up and put up probably tonight. I tagged you in a link with your Facebook page, so hopefully it will show up on your wall. If not,
awesome.
You can find it on Clinch's wall as well.
All right, awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it, and have a Merry Christmas.
You too.
Everybody
have a great night.
There. You too. Thank you again. Bye.
What an animated guy.
Dude, great stories, man. I'm telling
you.
Yeah,
really.
Man.
Jeez, I'd like to do story time with that guy.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'll tell you, I would love to have been there for that fight. Just the way he described it.
I know, right?
Like
could you imagine,
there.
Like, being in the middle of a fight, sitting in the crowd, and the power goes out?
Yeah.
The
no,
crowd, I could just imagine everything. It would be like a promoter's worst nightmare, let alone a fighter's.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
that night of Budo that I went to, every single street, like, coming from our hotel with me and Katie and my dad to the show, every single street except for the one that Budo was on was completely out of power.
Budo
8.
Yep.
Oh,
I remember.
Gosh, that would have been horrible.
I'll tell you what, Sam, you there? Are you still
yeah,
quiet?
I'm back.
Okay,
I'm
cool.
Sorry. Yeah, I've just been, the car is finally parked and now you'll be able to hear me better and stuff.
Cool. All right.
Cool. I don't know how much of that, you know, you caught or didn't catch, but, man, he told an amazing story about his first fight that he lost against Nathan Coy. His only fight, I guess, he lost against Nathan Coy. But at a Strikeforce event, man, and I mean, like, it was hilarious to hear him tell the story, because I got a picture of a homeless guy and then George St. Pierre showing up into the ring. And the way he
said
it, like, they literally switched. I was getting the feeling that they made him say that, you know, hey, we switched the fighter.
Jeez. Oh.
Hey, you guys, talk for a second.
All right, awesome. All right, Sam. So I guess last time we were talking about your vlog. So when are you planning on having your next one come out?
You know, I don't know.
I don't know. Are you planning on having a vlog for an individual blog for each sponsor that you have?
Yeah, I'm going to do one for Clinch and then I think Madhouse.
Awesome.
So,
better
yeah,
do a shout out for me on Madhouse.
Well, I always ask people if they want shout-outs on my
page.
Well,
I'm telling you right now on Cage Fight Radio, they better give me a shout-out.
I'll try to remember.
Oh, okay. I'll make sure you remember.
I thought you didn't like my vlogs because of my weird hair and my weird belly button or something.
No,
like that.
You do have a weird hair and weird belly button, but I must tell you, man, I was cracking up. I couldn't believe you actually, like, straight up, here's my belly button, look at it.
Well,
that
why
was
wouldn't
awful.
I? Skippy was like, hey, show your belly button on your vlog. So
I know. It's so funny because it actually does look like the edge of, like, the end of a balloon tie.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, that's the most I want to hear about my belly button. You know, it's been compared to other things. I could name them and name them and name them. Oh, it's a Cheerio. Oh, it looks like a tortellini. I mean, the things people compare it to is just ridiculous.
A tortellini,
oh,
really? I've made tortellinis. They don't look anything like your belly button.
Trust me.
You guys, I go away for a second and come back to tortellini and belly buttons.
Well, I mean, who wants
to
make a tortellini that looks like Sam's belly button and eat it? That's gross.
Did you watch my vlog, Skippy? Did you see my belly button?
I have not seen your blog yet, but you know what? As somebody who worked in the tattoo business for quite a few years and pierced just a ridiculous amount of belly buttons on every shape and size person in the world, let me tell you, I've seen them all, and guarantee you're by far the worst. I guarantee it. I don't have to see it to know it. I trust
you. Thanks. No, you should see my grandpa's. His is weird. I'll take a picture of his one day and say, this is where I got my weird belly button from.
Hey, you guys. Hey, well, we got a second, and we have no callers because everybody, dude, we've had like so many callers, and I go to check and ask them, and they just hang up. It's weird. But we had a gentleman on the show a couple weeks ago, Alfonso Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
Yes, he just signed his first pro contract today. He's
no
going
way.
To make his debut at, I believe, Cage Sport. So
awesome. That
is super, super sick.
Speaking of pro contracts, I heard about Amanda Cadwell, or Amy Cadwell.
Amy Cadwell, yes. Another. She's fighting Maria Anderverte. Look at all these Madhouse fighters.
She gets so excited already.
Oh, I love that girl. She is
I know. I know
crush.
You do. That's why I had to bring her up.
I'll be honest. I've told this to other people, and I have no shame in saying this openly and out loud. Right now, I have her winning. I think she has a better ground game and better heart and a better chin. I believe Maria has a solid stand-up game, but Maria's weakness is the ground, and it cost her. Anybody who saw the Glenn Avila fight knows that. I mean, Glenna didn't try to box with her. Glenna took a quick jab, grabbed her, threw her down, tapped her out quick. That's her weakness. I know Amy's got solid ground game. And Sam, you were there. After watching her fight Emily Corso, I mean, she showed that she has great ground game. And she was only with White Buffalo Warriors for like 30 days for that fight. This is 3.5-4 months, including a full camp with Will and the team. And I guarantee her game, from everything I've heard, has just progressed. A lot of holes are getting closed. I think she's going to go down. And this girl has earned the right to be a pro. Never been finished until this last title fight. All her fights are title fight losses. Losses, and all but one are decision losses. In the last one she lost, she refused to tap. She could have tapped, but she believed she could get out of that choke, and she kept fighting until the very last second when she went to sleep. This girl has earned her right as a fighter to be a pro. And you know, Amin Lepaki, we jump on people for turning pro too soon. This is one example. The girl has the heart. She has the talent. she just needed someone to mold it. And now that she's with a solid, you know, group of coaches and team members that can get her where she needs to be for this next portion of her career, she's going to fucking kill people. Excuse my language. And by the way, she's a hottie with a body. I love that chick. Oh, okay. she's the bomb. And, you know, Madhouse sponsors some great women fighters. Think about it. We sponsor Amanda Bell, Amy Cadwell, River Ruckus Jones. I mean, you know, we sponsor amateurs who are all now going pro. I mean, the males, you know, as well. Alfonso Gonzalez, Bruce Richards, Aaron the Hitman Scott, Sam the Sealander, Sea Monster. You know, we've got, Daniel Blair down there in Missouri. You know, we've got fighters all across the country that, you know, we sponsor because we believe in this sport. And, you know, that's why I'm glad you guys are letting me kick back on the show with you guys tonight. And, you know, I wish more of these people would be willing to talk because we've had, like, 25 phone calls and half of the people don't want to talk and the other half hang up.
Wow, that's lame. You called in and you hung up. You better call back.
Yeah, 310-742-1799, folks. To call
come on, guys, get on here. Let's chat.
After.
Let's call some people out.
For a second, I thought he was just naming out some random number. Like, hey, here's Lebocki's number. Let's just give it out.
Hey, we should do that. We should give out Lebocki's number to everybody.
No, because then he's going to blame me for saying it.
That's right. This is all Sam's fault, Lebocki, if you're listening.
Like, what are you doing?
Well,
giving out my number.
Well, isn't he single anyways? I mean, it's not like anything bad could happen.
He could get a bunch of phone calls.
You know, I think it's a good idea. I'll tell him it's all your fault, too.
Well, there's a radio show that I'll tell him it's not.
That's true. Well, that's awesome then. So, I didn't know that he was actually your manager. I didn't even know you had a manager. Is he your manager?
Yes. Yeah. I haven't signed a contract yet, but...
Yeah, I was like, where is this, like, document, like, for real?
Yeah, well, once... If he's listening and prints out a documentation, I'll sign it.
Oh.
I mean...
What does he do for it? Like, what does he do?
He gives me advice. He helps me with stuff. You know, manager stuff.
Right now I
can't really do stuff. He'll be finding me fights and shit once I'm, like, I'm not going to fight until he's basically going to find me fights.
He's kind of like a coach, like a life coach.
Kind of. I mean, he's like a manager. He finds the fights. He finds the opponents. He gives demands, like, say I hold three titles and somebody's trying to give me a fight that's not for a title, he'd probably be like, no, now on to the next one.
So how did this all come about?
I think he messaged me one day and was like, do you need a manager? And I was probably just like, yeah. And then
that's
he started
awesome.
Talking to me more.
I'll be honest,
Lebocki's he's a smart, smart man, you know, and I'm glad that you're letting him manage you because he's going to look out for your best interest. He might be brash. Some people might even call him a cocky, arrogant ass.
Yep, I would definitely second that.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. I love you, Lebocki.
I love that freedom of you. You're so cute when you talk. When you talk like that, that's great. Straight up, though, he is. He is definitely somebody that it is definitely an MMA mind who can help you get where you need to get right now. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
You guys, we're filling back up, so I'm gonna check some things. You guys talk.
Awesome.
Okay.
Well, since I just did a story on Chad Marins, he had his fight this weekend, and I know Sam, you watched it. How did it go? You want to give like a recap on it?
I'm going to be honest, and Mertens openly said it, and there's been a lot of people who said it. He got the jitters. He kind of got the big show jitters and didn't fight he didn't fight like Chad, okay? He did in the end, and I was like, get him, motherfucker, get him! Sorry for laughing. I was screaming at the computer. I was like, kick his ass, Chad! And I was rooting for Chad. I mean, me and Chad had our differences at one point. We settled them. Chad's a cool guy. I wish him the best. He's going out to Cali, so he'll improve from there. But, I mean, he fought, like, I guess the number one, or the number, not the number one, not at all, the number six ranked.
Ranked in the nation, I think, as he said.
Yeah, and, I mean, he held his own. He didn't get his butt kicked. I mean,
did he bleed?
He didn't really. Yeah, Chad was
of
bleeding,
course.
Though.
He bleed. I swear, but he could flick the kid and start bleeding.
He didn't bleed from his eye, though.
Okay. That's new.
Yeah.
His nose?
The guy could, yeah, it was kind of a slow first round. I thought Chad won the first round. I mean,
how was his cardio? Chad, last time I saw him fight, he was lacking on his cardio, and he was talking to me about how I wanted to get better on that.
I think he got better. I mean, in the end, he was throwing crazy flurries trying to kill the dude.
Yeah.
You'd have to ask him, but the second round, the dude counterstruck him. He was popping in every which way. Chad wasn't getting in quick enough and throwing enough. And then the third round, I definitely know Chad won, and Chad got in there and would just put him up against the cage, beat him up, but the dude push-kicked him away at one point. So it was an okay back-and-forth fight. I think it was one of the only fights. It was definitely the first fight of the night to go to decision, so...
Oh, okay, that's what I was gonna say. Did it go to decision? Oh.
Hey guys,
yeah,
hey, I'm gonna bring in somebody, man. You guys gotta check this guy out. Chase Corbin, man, this guy runs Tough Prints out of Las Vegas. Believe it or not, he is a sponsor for a fighter. Madhouse sponsors Amanda Bell, and I believe he's gonna be printing up all her stuff. And we have a lot of stuff for MMA fighters out there. Throughout the whole United States and beyond. Chase, you there, brother?
Yo.
Hey, how you doing tonight? You're live on Cage Fire Radio. You're on with Caitlin, the host, and C-Lander, Sam the Sea Monster. He's the co-host. Welcome to Cage Fire Radio.
I don't actually have to say the whole Sea Monster thing, do I? Can I just say SS?
No, we just call Sea Monster or Sam.
Sam works, too. SS is a bad end of connotation, actually, now that I think about it.
I gotta say, other than sponsors that host this show, we've never actually had a sponsor call into the show, and you're actually kind of an interesting sponsor because you do something every fighter needs, no matter male, female, amateur, pro. You do printing, correct?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. I'm more of a printer than I am actually a sponsor. I do work with Amanda, and I do work with a few others. I've also sponsored Ed Herman, and just recently Pat Barry. You know, mostly what I do is do the printing for their fights, their banners, their shorts, and stuff like that.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, do you want to tell everybody a little bit about your company, where you're based out of, and how they can get a hold of you?
Sure. I actually was a Florida boy for a while. Just moved out to Vegas about a year and a half ago. Went to school, got my marketing degree, and learned about the whole supply and demand thing, and I noticed there was a big demand for this. I didn't grow up wanting to be a printer. There's nothing glorious or exciting about it, and it doesn't particularly work with the ladies. But there was a good demand for it, so I just kind of jumped on it and did it. I got into the business as a manager with Dean Albrecht, and I've co-managed or managed some of the biggest names in the whole sport. And I kind of just realized that there was a need for somebody that kind of knew what they were doing. That would print from the manager's perspective, from the sponsor's perspective. So I took kind of that knowledge and I just kind of ran with it, and it's worked out really well for me so far.
That's awesome.
Hey, Caitlin, before you jump in, I got a fan question, actually.
Sure.
This just came in from out in the Midwest. It says, ask him if he was a fan of MMA or did he become a fan of MMA?
Okay, I've actually always been a fan of MMA. I grew up in training martial arts. Got about 16 years. I actually just got my black belt in traditional martial arts 2 years ago. And I've always been a fan, mostly of violence, more so than MMA. And then it just kind of turned into something completely different. It morphed from this violent, you know, shock sport to a true art. And I became totally intrigued with it. The personalities started to grow on me. And I've always been a fan since UFC 1. I just kind of took it, and I can do anything that I like for a long period of time, but if I don't like it, I'm not going to last 5 minutes. So I'm happy it's in the right arena for me.
Hmm. So do you have, just out of curiosity, do you have a favorite fighter or company or person that you, like to work with the best?
I've got to stay a little unbiased because I kind of work with everybody. And oftentimes I'm actually printing for one guy who's fighting another. This weekend I actually did the printing for both Shane Del Rosario and Pat Barry. And I'm really good with both the managers. Pat Barry's probably my favorite fighter. I prefer the fighters that have good personalities. Not good personalities, but intriguing personalities, polarizing mm-hmm. personalities. I like Chael Sonnen. I like Forrest Griffin. I like Pat Barry. I like Jens Pulver. I like those guys. That even though winning or losing, it's not so much. It's just the post-fight interview is actually what I enjoy.
Do you like the controversial ones?
Yeah, Jacob Volkman. I just, you know, it gives you more to watch, you know, than just guys throwing punches.
Yeah, now, let me ask you, let's say, you know, a fighter like Sam, you know, an amateur or even a beginning pro, you know, comes to you. Do you have, like, some packages maybe? Do you guys offer, like, a banner shorts and a shirt deal, or do you guys just whatever they need? Or how does it work with your company?
You know what? It's not a general printing type thing we do. I mean, everything we do, it doesn't need to have a huge run. So we don't only have to do 100 logos minimum or 100 shirts minimum. It's not quite like that. Because I've built my business model around the events, someone can come to me and say, hey, I need shorts, has 6 logos on them, and I need a banner. And the general size for the banner is 4x6, so that's kind of standard, you know, industry standard. I charge $125 for the banners, and I charge $10 the logo. So generally, you can get a pair of custom shorts done for butt, crotch, 4 thighs for $60. So it's really not that much. That'll come out of the sponsorship money. So, you know, for $150, $160, you can get an entire kit done for your fight. And ultimately, you know, what I got into this business for was to do it right. You know, if you got a company that's getting behind you and putting their money behind you and putting their, you know, the face of their company along with yours, you want to make sure the logo's done right. You want to make sure it's getting represented properly. There's a lot of little details that a lot of printers kind of don't go into that they don't even really think about. And I kind of know those things, so I really want to make sure that at the end of the day, both the fighter gets paid and the sponsor's really happy.
That's awesome. That sounds like such a great deal, getting all that stuff for, you said, $150?
Yeah, it's not too bad. And you know what? For a lot of the upcoming fighters, like Amanda Bell, mm-hmm. for example, you know, we're going to give her a significant break on it because she's a heck of a fighter. She's a good, really good girl. She's been giving us a lot of shout-outs on Facebook and Twitter. And, you know, they're coming up, so I know they don't really have that much money right now. So I usually work with them and make it work. So I try to help out.
Awesome. So I guess then how would a fighter go about getting help from you or maybe more discounts if do they have to have, like, is it based off of how good of a record they have or do they just stand out to you?
No, not at all. I mean, all you got to do is go to my website, which is toughprints.com. And that's not T-U-F-F, it's T-O-U-G-H. I actually went to school, so I kind of went with that. And all I got to do is just kind of, you know, follow the instructions there. And if you send me cupcakes and stuff, that actually helps out a lot too. I like food. It's pretty much GG from that point forward. Yeah, all you got to do is just kind of place the order, and it doesn't matter who it is. I mean, whoever gets the order in first gets their order out. So if Forrest Griffin places an order and Amanda Bell places an order, Amanda's going out first if she got it in first. I really don't pay too much attention to that. You know, everyone gets the same quality work, and everyone kind of pays the same, too, so it really doesn't make that much of a difference.
Hey, Chase, this is Skippy.
Yep.
I got a caller here who wants to talk to you. I'm going to bring him on live.
Sure.
Hey, caller, you're live.
Hey, Chase, it's Amanda.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, brother. I heard that you were going to be up on the line tonight, so I wanted to call and personally thank you for actually sponsoring me for my Invicta, for my debut in Invicta, and I much appreciate it.
No worries. I'm happy to be a part of it. You know what? I'm actually really relieved right now. I thought it was going to be my mom.
No, far from it, man. Far from it.
Cool. Yeah, no, I'm really happy to help out. I mean, I know exactly where you're at. I've seen it a lot, and I think, you know, I just think you got a lot. You know, right now is a great time to be in women's MMA, first of all. I mean,
Absolutely.
So much is happening. And, you know, if you got what it takes, I'm hopefully happy to be there, hopefully for the whole ride, you know?
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, I much appreciate it. I look forward to seeing your print jobs and seeing the banner once it's all finished. I'm excited about that, so I can't wait to see it.
It'll be super cool. I spoke to Jason about it. Like, and if you have something you want custom, I didn't really quite mention this, but if you want something custom done, you got a cool nickname or whatever it is, we do custom jobs for the same amount. So if you want, like, a cool background to your banner, it's all the same for us.
Okay.
so we can have you looking
okay.
real sharp out there.
Cool. I'll try to put something together. I'm having a little bit of a difficulty pulling all the vector files together, but I'll see what I can do.
It's amazing. It's amazing how many companies put all their money into marketing and, you know, all, and everything they do, but they don't have a great logo. That's one of the funniest things about this business is tracking down the right logo. But once you get it, it's pretty easy from that point forward.
Yeah. All right, not a problem. Well, again, thank you. I much appreciate it, and I hope to keep on working with you from here on out, really.
Absolutely. I wish you good luck.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling in, Amanda. We love you, girl.
Love you, too, Skip.
Thank
I'll talk to you all later.
My
mom. Yeah. I guess.
Wow. Everybody, that was the one and only, the lady killer, Amanda Bell. Sponsored by Tough Prince. You guys can find these guys on Facebook, I believe. Do you guys have a Twitter, too?
Yeah, we do. We're working on getting our followers up there. It's been kind of a crazy grind. We only started officially working, you know, for the last year. So we're working on getting all of our followers up. Actually, I failed to mention this. Amanda and I have something else in common that she didn't mention is we've both been known to be lady killers. So... throw that one out.
Yeah.
Her in a totally different way. I'm more of like a Dexter kind of way, but it's
creepy.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a hack a creeper thing to say.
Yeah. Well, no worries. You stay on. You hang up right now.
Quality radio. You were definitely quality.
You know what? It's funny. No one grows up wanting to be a printer. I always wanted to be on the radio, but my voice never dropped enough. So I think it just kind of it stopped where it was. And I just kind of gave up.
And see, then you get people like Sam who never wanted to be on the radio. He likes being a fighter, and we convinced him to come on the show because half the reason is his voice. He's a lady killer with that voice.
Oh, God,
yeah,
I wouldn't go that far. Maybe a lady killer of the ears.
Hey, lady killer of the ears.
It's definitely not in the serenading sort of way.
She just says that because she's like my little sister. Don't listen to a thing she says, man.
Hey, Chase, I got to ask
you,
since you're a fan of MMA like we are, who do you got in the Dos Santos-Kane Part 2 fight?
You know, this is actually kind of funny. If you look at the UFC poster, they show the two of the guys standing next to each other, and I don't know what it was, but Kane looks enormous, and JDS looks like he looks tiny. The reason I'm picking JDS is because he's just a huge human being. He's so much bigger, so much longer, and his striking just keeps people at the distance. No one's even really been able to even attempt to take him down. You know, he's fought against some good guys like Roy Nelson he's fantastic on the ground, and he couldn't even get it close there. I think Kane's only shot is if he takes him down. I don't think he's going to be able to. I think Junior Santos is going to win the fight again.
Heck yeah.
Cool.
Junior Dos Santos has only been on his back recordly for 13 seconds.
And who was that against?
I don't remember.
Might have been with his wife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the greatest answer ever.
I mean, he's just so good. He's so long, and his striking is so technically sound, and his boxing is so good. I mean, it's even hard to get off a good shot on him.
Yeah, he even just got his black belt in jiu-jitsu, so I wouldn't be surprised if he tries to chalk everybody and take Kane down and submit him because he's been saying he wants a submission from what I've been reading.
Interesting. I don't know how – I wonder if that's true. I don't know. I think at the end of the game, and you're a fighter, you probably know this, you just want to win. You know, when fighters I don't really know how much of that is, you know, just posturing or mind games or what.
For sure. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, though, because he's so good. But I think I'm with you. Junior Dos Santos wins either by KO or TKO, but I'm banking on a submission for some reason. I have a feeling that a submission is going to end the fight.
That would be interesting. That would be interesting. Yeah, I love MMA. I think that upcoming card's really good. It's out here in Vegas. So I'm probably going to actually go to it. It's pretty exciting. But the next card is even better. The one over in Montreal. I don't know, it's not the next. I think it's 148. The one in Montreal. That card is fast.
Yes. Three welterweight fights, all top contenders, all in, like, the top six.
Four. Like, four,
I mean.
All of them. And you got GSP's one. You got Condit, who just fought for the title. You got Rory.
Ellenberger.
Ellenberger.
Hendricks.
That's easily the top five on the single card, which is awesome.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, Patrick Cote is going to be on there, and I mean, let's be honest, he's still a threat at 185. I mean, you know, so it looks like Alessio Sakara has withdrew due to some kind of kidney issue, but you know they're going to find him a replacement and a tough one.
Oh, that's a shame. I didn't hear about that. That's a bummer.
I
kind of wanted to see how that one worked out again.
Yeah, exactly. I did, too. I think a lot of fans out there really wanted to see what's going to happen with that rematch. But, you know, it is what it is. Hey, we've got about 45 seconds, man. Do you want to give any shout-outs to anybody? Make sure everybody out there knows how to find you.
If I really gave anybody a shout-out, I'd probably just forget a bunch of people. So I want to thank all the managers that work with me, all the fighters that work with me. Thank you, guys. If there's anything I can do, let me know. Just go to www.toughprince.com, T-O-U-G-H, Prince. And it's all pretty much self-explanatory from there. If you're a pro, if you're an amateur, whatever it is, if you just want me to make like a My Little Pony like thing for the wall, we can do that too. So just let me know, and I'd love to hear from everybody. So yeah, it's a brand new business. I'm a fan just like everybody else, and hopefully I can make some money doing what I love. So.
Well, hey, we really appreciate you taking the time tonight to come out and, you know, let the fans around, you know, especially the West Coast and Eastern Canada and stuff, really get to, you know your product and honestly know you as an owner, man. You sound like a real personal guy. You're a fun guest to have on, man. We'll have to do this again down the road someday.
Absolutely. My phone's always on. Thanks, guys.
You have a good night, brother.
Appreciate it.
Have a Merry Christmas.
All right, you too. Bye.
Okay, Sam, Caitlin, you guys know I don't know how to work this board super good, but I found one song on here. I'm going to play a commercial break because I have to go do a few things, like bladder. So, you guys, I'm going to play some music. And when we come back, we have some guy from the Midwest who wants to call Sam out. So we'll see what that's all about.
Thank you.
only song I could find on the board that I knew was a song, because some of the other stuff I don't, it's all abbreviated and stuff, and I'm like, I know that one. That's Black Label Society for everybody out there. Hey, welcome back to the second hour of Cage Fire Radio. Open phone lines, 310-742-1799. We got one individual up right now, and I think, Sam, this guy wants a piece of you, man. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hi, Sam.
What up?
You think you want to come out of here to the Midwest and come out here and fight these big-time MMA fighters out here? You don't want none of these wrestlers out here, boy. None of them.
None of them?
Chris Gregory, everybody. You guys know Chris Gregory from the yet-to-be-named MMA show based with Dallas Browning and Kansas City MMA. He runs that show every Sunday night. How you doing, brother?
Oh, what's up, guys? Man, I just had to come on here and give Sam a little shit. I figured I'd take advantage of his injury and call him out while he's still hurt. I would have to lose half my body to fight you, dude. Like, all of it.
It's no worries. I figured it was. I was like, wait a minute, Skippy's gonna want somebody to come on here. I know. I thought at first too, but I was like, Skippy's gonna want somebody on here to shit talk me. He must think I'm ready to talk shit or something. Like,
yeah, I brought someone on to shit talk you.
We do that. Hey, we do that every Sunday night on the Yet to Be Named MMA show. If they want to call in and talk shit to each other, whatever. As long as they don't have a fight coming up, I'll let it go down. If they have a fight coming up, I'll be respectful and I'll say, no, this is not your time. This is their time. But I will let them, like, talk little shit to each other because it's fun. Yeah, and what's funny is they all get along after the fights, drink beers, you know, have fun. But they'll sit here and they'll call each other out, you know. It's hilarious. I actually got my fight from calling the dude out on my radio show, and the right people were listening, and I got my fight.
Yeah, I heard. I saw you guys talking smack over that picture. I was laughing, man. I was sitting back. I was like, oh, man, this is funny. This is what I like to see.
Hey, big shout-out to Heather for calling in. Sorry we didn't get to you, young lady, but big shout-out to Heather. Sorry, Chris, what were you going to say?
No, I'm just, I've been training a little here and there. I'm taking the next 2 weeks off from work, and I'm going to go at it hard with a bunch of different gyms. I actually talked to somebody who's actually pretty close to where I'm at that already has given me a game plan, and I plan on implementing it. I trust this dude. He was actually my last opponent's coach, and, you know, before I fought him, I looked over him and, like, shook my head. I was like, you ain't getting this one. You know, we're good friends or whatever, so it was nice to hear from him. He put me on a little diet. You know, I'm a soda drinker, bro, and it's horrible. It's fucking horrible. But if I don't drink soda, man, I'll get a headache. So, like,
wow,
he has me
bad.
Yeah, dude, that's bad. So, like, he has me on this diet right now, and I'm working it. Every time I go in the gym, no lie, I lose at least 7 pounds. So it's just
nice.
Coming off like crazy. Like,
very
what
nice.
I hear is every soda you drink, it takes 4 hours. Like, even if you go work out, like, it won't just come out of your system. It takes 4 hours to get it out of your system. So, like, you're basically going and working out for nothing. Obviously, you'll get technique, but it's not really helping you at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as nutritional-wise. So, basically, like, I feel good. And I feel good right now. I haven't drank soda for a few days, you know, and, man, I'm ready to go at it. I've been using my training mask like crazy. That thing is great. I'm ready to fight this dude. I can't wait.
Don't you have a new sponsor that just stepped up too also?
Yeah, actually, it's a sponsor of the show, the yet-to-be-named MMA show. It's Tatsukai Fightwear. If you go check out their, I'm going to wear a rash guard because I'm a big-ass dude, and I don't care, you know what I mean? Until I get to 215, I'm wearing a rash guard. So that's my goal right now is 215. But, Tatsukai Fightwear, they're hooking me up with the rash guard. No, it's sick, man. It has, like, a samurai on the side of it. Man, it goes crazy with my Punchtown shorts. Man, I can't wait to fight, man. I'm ready to punch someone right now. And Skippy, you always play such crazy music. Like, I was calm before I got on here, and then I listened to that music, and now I want to punch someone. Seriously, I'm like, oh.
You guys know me, man. I got that urge to make this a rogue radio show for some reason.
Maybe we should be the producer tonight.
Chris,
you know, I don't
exactly
know
how you feel.
Yeah, you know, and once again, everybody, 310-742-1799. I'm giving out somebody else's number. you know, that's messed up. I started giving out somebody else's number. But, yeah, you guys, look, when you call in and I answer, don't hang up, man. Just tell me, hey, I don't want to talk. I just want to listen. Or, hey, I got a question. I mean, I've had like 25 people hang up as soon as I go to answer the call. And the rest of everybody else is either just, yeah, I don't know, man. You guys
call in. You know, I used to be like that, Skippy. I was like, nah, man, I'm not going to call in. And used to get nervous. And, like, now it's like I do my own radio show, so it's not like I could care less. I'm just talking with friends about MMA. That's how I look at it. That's what I'm doing right now.
Yep.
I'm talking with friends about MMA.
Yep.
Yeah, and honestly,
so anyway,
Sam, you know, you've gotten better, too. You know, obviously, you know, you went from being a fighter to having to go through rehab, and we figured, shit, bring you on the show. And I'll admit, the first episode or two, you were kind of nervous, you know, but now you kind of roll with it, man. It's great. And obviously,
everybody knows
Miss Caitlin already rocks.
Well, thanks. You don't have to tell me twice.
Hey, so, hey, well, we got you on the phone before any of these callers actually want to talk. Dude, go over the card you're on, because, I mean, you're on a pretty sick little card.
All right. I'm not sure how exactly they're going to put us in order, but from what I heard is that whoever sells the most tickets is going to be the main event, which is cool because we all are just, you know, up-and-coming fighters that just want fights. So, basically, you got show fight, cage announcer, Dallin Gatling fighting Sean Hatton, which is 3-1. Dallin's 1-0. Then you got Katie Red Dragon Collins. She's supported by MMA Madhouse to the fullest. She's fighting a girl who's an Army Combatist fighter, Carrie Ann Riddle. Then you got Adam the Stink Mink. He's fighting a dude named Justin Stafford. I'm not really too sure who Justin is. But, I mean, this card has a lot of tough dudes on it. Let's see. My best friend Johnny Mangold is taking on Dakota Honey Boo Boo Woods. And I've actually trained with Dakota. He's a pretty tough kid. So, you know, Johnny's my best friend. And I told him, look, if you don't train for this dude, you're going to get knocked out. You know what I mean? Or at least you're going to get taken out. So you really need to train. He's just the type of dude that would just go in there and fight. You know what I mean? He doesn't really care. But for me, I'm like, dude, I got you this fight. So you need to do everything you need to do to win this. And don't make me look bad. Second time. No, I'm just playing. And then there's a lot of other guys on the card. Casey Chaos Harrison. Another dude named Saki. This dude's from Japan. Look, I've heard a lot of things about this dude, and I've seen him sparring. This dude is nasty. He's 145 pounds. I see this guy. This is his debut, but from what I've seen of his stuff, that dude is going to be somewhere big in the future. Then you got like guys like Pat Crisman and Terry Palmier. There's going to be like 20 fights on this card, and hopefully I sell a grip of tickets so I can be the main event and just enjoy the other fights until, you know, the co-main event at least. That'd be fantastic. Or, hell, I don't care. I'll sell the most tickets and still be the first fight. I don't care. I like to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I'm one of those guys who likes the first fight, to be honest. Like, when I fought for the main event, for the title, I was co-man, but I was like, oh my gosh, I hate this. I wanted to fight first. I was like, just let me fight for the title and be the first fight.
Yeah, see, like, I got friends fighting. So for me, it's like, I mean, more than one friend. I got like 10 friends fighting on this card. So it'll be hard for me to go. I wouldn't want to go last or even co-man. I'd rather just be first, get out the way, and then be able to enjoy the rest of the fight. My first fight, it was the second fight of the night, and the first fight was like 30 seconds, and I was like, all right, here we go. I was like, oh, man, let's do this already. And, like, like, once I seen the dude, I didn't even let my music play. I was already out there, like, getting lubed up on the face. I'm sorry, I always call it that, my bad. So inappropriate. So inappropriate.
Well, yeah, are you serious?
Man.
Caitlin, why are
sorry,
you posting
I'm
pictures
used...
of LaMichael? Oh.
Wait,
hey,
what?
Chris, did you just post
oh, are you looking at my tweets?
LaMichael
are you
day?
Kidding me? I'd retweet that man any day, okay?
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to be that girl that, like, gets some kind of dying disease and goes to Make-A-Wish Foundation. It's like, all I want to do before I die is, like, get hugged by him.
Dude, she's got this thing for this Oregon Duck football player named LaMichael James.
Okay, he's not just some football player, okay?
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, LaMichael James came from Texas. And
yeah, he did. Texarkana,
Texas. Let's be honest, the only reason that kid is playing college football is because $27,000 in an illegal move across state lines.
Oh, my God.
From having
God.
To go through the
that
high school
most,
graduation
I can't believe you
test.
Just said that.
Dude,
what an asshole. I can't believe you just said that.
It's the truth. He had to move to state so he could complete high school.
Just Googled it.
Whatever.
Google it.
Are you Googling this? Are you Googling
everything.
A debate with me?
I just Googled debate
Middle.
Caitlin, and guess what came up? LaMichael James.
I was going to say, I'll debate you any day about my man, okay? You don't talk about him like that.
Hey, Chris G., thank you, brother, for calling and hanging out tonight, man. Good luck on your fight. You know Madhouse has mad love for you. We love what you do for Madhouse. You do some of the top reporting. Everybody get out there and find Chris Gregory on Twitter, Facebook, Google, YouTube, everywhere. Find him on MMAMadhouse.com. He's got his own section. Chris,
thank
I'm going
to
let you go. We're going to bring in, oh, yeah, brother, all the time. We're going to bring in the next caller and keep rolling with the show.
All right, cool. I'm out, man.
Late.
Sleep
yep. Okay. We got Stephen Wing. What's up, brother?
What's up?
Nothing much, man. Just got done training.
Nice.
I saw that you guys were hitting the radio, so I thought I'd call in.
Thank you for calling in, first off. Last time I saw you, you were at, not Coastal Brawl, Fight Night Tsunami, and I've seen that you've been doing a lot of fighting since then. So what's been up?
Not much. Been doing a pretty good win, a lot of wins lately. Training hard, you know. I won a title against Donnie Johnson a few weeks back. Maybe looking to defend it pretty soon. See what, you know, people say. Your
right.
manager said stuff.
Yeah, you're on like a 4 or 5 fight win streak, aren't you?
Yeah, I got 5 so far.
Yeah, I thought it was 4, but I know you probably fought one time when I actually didn't check Facebook, so I wasn't sure.
Good.
I always see you posting fighting tonight, and I'm like, dude.
I know. Do you take all of your fights, like, on day's notice or something? I mean, geez.
Well, Keith, I mean, he knows that I'm always down to fight, so whenever he finds a spot for 135, 140, even 150 sometimes, I'll jump in that spot.
Nice. Okay, so what was your most recent fight then?
This last weekend.
Last weekend, and how did that go, and who was your opponent?
Omar Leon or something like that. I can't remember his last name for sure, but it was Omar, and I won a third round TKO. It was a pretty good back and forth battle that we had. I mean, it was standing most of the time. I got a couple takedowns, ground and pound, and then third round, I was just, you know, tired of fighting. I was getting tired and fatigued, so I thought I just stood up with him a little bit, pressed him against the cage, did a couple toe stomps, threw him to the ground, got him out, and ground and pounded him out.
Nice. Awesome. Sam, did you want to jump in at all? Or?
No, I mean, just like I said, you've been on a tear, dude. Who do you want to fight next?
Whoever, you know, I mean, whoever jumps in the ring with me. I mean, whoever my keys, he's my manager, my coach. He knows me from me. He knows what I'm capable of. He knows what I'm not capable of. So I let it all up to him. I mean, I don't even really ask him who I'm fighting. He just says, hey, you're fighting this day. Start training for this weight. And I'm like, okay. So I'll do that. And when I get in the ring, I don't even really know who I'm fighting until I get in the ring, look across the cage. Oh, that's who I'm fighting. Okay, let's do this.
What about
What about a rematch with Cleveland Smith?
With who?
With Cleveland Smith.
Cleveland Smith. Any
yeah.
day, I would take that.
When did you fight him?
He fought him at Fistcuffs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, at the last? No. Oh, yeah, I remember. I was there, huh?
Yeah, you were there for that one. That's what you
did. Okay, I remember now.
He was hitting on you the whole time.
Oh.
I would definitely do a rematch with Cleveland, though.
I hope Cleveland's listening. Cleveland, if you're listening, Stephen Wing, he wants you. Let's do it.
Yeah, we got our first call out on Cage Fighter Radio.
That's a good call out, man. You know, let's be honest. You know, a lot of people think a lot of Cleveland Smith, and he's been able to you know, sell some fights on his name and his record, but obviously a blemish on that record pertains to you, Mr. Wing, and for you to go back and put a big exclamation point on that loss by doing it again would really make some waves around the weight class and the rankings. Because, you know, I don't know how many people out there look at the No Pain, Just Glory rankings, but I do because they rank the Pac Northwest fighters. That's because I'm typing to you, Miss Caitlin.
Yeah, I know you are. You're Googling right now, huh?
I'm Googling. So, Steven, I got to tell you once again, thank you and your whole team for repping Madhouse, man. That's really cool, you guys.
Yeah, we wear the T-shirts almost every promotion we go to.
Well, it's really cool, you guys, man. We think a lot of that, you know, over at Madhouse. We really appreciate it, you know, and we have much, much love for your team. And speaking of your team, how much rolling and sparring do you get to do with Levi Ronan?
With Levi Ronan? Well,
yeah.
He hasn't really been to. He left. He had to go back and help his family with some farm stuff. You know, that farmer freaking never gets out of his blood. He just went back there. He's, I guess, I don't know if he's working out or anything. I haven't really heard much of him. But when he was here, we got good time at rolling and, you know, sparring, everything. We helped him out a lot, you know, helped him with his jits, his stand-up, helped him not become that wobbly giant, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just curious because, I got big love for Levi. I think he's an amazing fighter. And, I mean, somebody like that to train with is, you know, got to be fighting.
Yeah, we'd love to have him, but, you know, he's in a different spot right now.
Yeah,
hopefully
that's a bummer.
He's not far.
Well, you know, I understand that. And knowing Levi, you know, how dedicated he is to his family, I totally understand his decision. I just didn't know that last time I talked to him. He looked like he was in good shape and he'd been training a lot. And I know it's been a couple months, but, you know.
Yeah, that was actually the day he quit and went back to the
farm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer. So,
he didn't really quit, you know. I mean, I'm sure he's still working hard and everything, running every day. I'm sure he's still doing everything. And I'm sure he still has a lot of mental focus towards fighting, but he's just not in the family first. He's that kind of guy, you know. He's got to get up there. His family needs help. He has to get up there, help him out, you know. Family first kind of guy. Everybody here respects that.
Hey, are we able to talk to Keith? Is he sitting near you?
Yeah, he's right here with me.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Keith, how you doing? Everybody, this is Keith Hutchins. Runs Redneck Militia, one of the greatest guys you'll ever meet in MMA. Hey,
this looks sweet.
I appreciate you taking the time to call in tonight, man. How's everything going, man?
Not too bad. We got trying to reopen up our Walla Walla gym and get those guys going again. Other than that, it's just been basically probably a good handful of guys that have been, you know, for solid guys every day down here at the gym. Wintertime always slows down over here in our neck of the woods anyways. But
so,
it's going good.
Who do you got lined up to fight? Anybody coming up soon?
I'm looking for fights for Jason Lambert. I got a new heavyweight that's wanting to go pro. He's 0-0 pro right now. His name's Kai Ham. I, you know, really want to get him going. Other than that, it's just Mike Savage and Stephen Wing that are really fight ready right now. I got Stefan Cermiano out of Walla Walla. He comes over and cross trains us with us a lot, and you know, he stays working every single day. Joe Allen, she's just come off of a collarbone injury from the summer, and he's just now starting to get back in shape, and we'll be looking for fights for him soon. And then we got old John, the Pink Panther Sandoval. He's been working his butt off, working late hours, trying to catch up on some bills and stuff, and he just got back into the gym, so we'll be looking for fights for those guys.
Well, hopefully we'll see you guys represented at the Budo in February, because that's becoming a really sick card.
Yeah, I would love to get on there. I probably need to get a hold of Derek. I haven't talked to him in a while. I'd like to throw a couple guys on there.
Yeah, it's funny. He just left the studio about an hour ago. He was here when we started the show. we could have forced him on air and made him step up to the plate right then. But, yeah, definitely. I've seen the board. And I know there's quite a few open spots, so, you know, I'd love to see, you know, you guys once again, because, you know, I have mad love for you guys and much respect for what you do out there for your Redneck Militia and all those fighters. And not only that, you always bring the war. I mean, everybody knows, man, Redneck Militia fighters are always prepared.
Yeah, we're down to fight every day. You know, most of our dedicated guys that you see fight a lot, you know, they don't take a day off, you know, they don't, you know, take a fight and, you know, win or lose, not come back to the gym on Monday, you know. So, and I always tell them, you know, you train for everything, then you should be prepared for everything. So, and I don't know why they listen to me, but they do.
Well, you know, let me ask you, what's the toughest thing about, you know, coaching these kids?
You cut out on me there.
What do you think is the toughest thing about coaching these kids?
Is the mental side of it more than anything. You know, you get guys that come into the gym and, you know, they can be phenomenal athletes and get broken down by a kid that they used to be, you know, picked on in high school, you know, and never come back into a gym. but most of it's mental, in my opinion, is, you know, especially with the families and things like that, you know. You know, everybody's got that girlfriend that, you know, is supposed to be supportive and everything of it, but it seems like they're always the one that, you know, tear them away from the gym. And keeping those guys there, that's one of the hardest things to do. And then, you know, just the mental side of the fighter itself, you know, a guy that gets mentally broken, is he going to be able to, you know, build himself back up and not let him affect himself every day, whether he's physically can go out there and do something, you can't do it if you're not mentally there.
Oh, good insight, man. Let me ask you, you know, you have fighters who get injuries. Obviously, we got Sam Friedlander. You know who he is. You know, he's just coming back from an injury. What's the one thing you tell a fighter when they're going through their rehab to keep them focused?
Like Jason Lambert, when he went through his rehab, you know, I told him, you know, to basically, when the doctor releases you to, you know, be able to come in and train again, you know, we'll come in. And the first thing I did is I let him build that mental confidence without him, you know, without, even though I was kind of babying the situation myself and not, and testing it in the ways I want to see it tested, you know, I didn't, you know, say, hey, Jason, you can't do that or anything like that. I would be more like, you know, we're going to focus on getting your hand speed back up and things like that and getting them, you know, back to par where they were. And why he's doing that, he's not even paying attention to his knee. He's moving, his footwork's looking good, you know. We'll start adding in some kicks, you know, gradually once, you know, we're going to start adding some kicks in because, your hands are getting good, your footwork's looking good off your hands. Then we'll start adding them in, and before you know it, he doesn't even realize his legs, you know, there. He's like, man, a month into it, I look at him and I go, how's your leg feel? And he's like, man, it feels great. It feels really good. And then we start, you know, really pushing in on the cardio again, you know, just basic stuff, but he's getting a workout on that leg. You know, I'm not pushing it to see if it's going to break, you know, right off the bat. And then, you know, he hasn't had a whole lot of complaints about it at all, you know. And to me, that built him when he went in and started fighting. You know, we fought him, I think it was like 2 or 3 times as an amateur, one more time before we turned him pro. And they were, you know, stand up in ground fights and
You know, he hasn't had a problem with it. And the last month or so of training before he went pro, we really, you know, drilled it, you know, stand up with takedowns, everything. He was using his leg in several different, you know, situations, you know, whether it was with strength, you know, whether we were doing sprints out on the track to, you know, jumping up on big high blocks and things, you know, really testing it out. And he didn't seem to have a problem with it. And I think it's because, you know, I preoccupied his mind with other things without him letting him let him think about that leg because he's focused on his hands or something else first.
Well, dude, that's great insight, man. Once again, you keep, you know, we love having you guys part of the community of MMA, and Matt House, that's a special spot for you guys. You guys always, you know, bring the best shows for the fans. Your fighters always come prepared. Do you want to give any shout-outs to any sponsors or any gym locations or anything like that? Feel free.
Just you guys, MMA Madhouse, is, you know, you guys have always treated us great. I'd like to thank, you know, Dirty Boxer for giving the guys the, you know, the guys that they did shorts and a shirt and hat. And then, you know, Clint just said they were going to sponsor Jason Lambert mouth guard and give us some bites. You know, I haven't got him yet, but I'd like to give a shout out to him also. Other than that, just our, you know, guys from our gym and everybody who supports us.
Well, that's definitely us, man. And you guys, I know you guys are just getting out of the gym and everything, so I thank you for taking the time to call out and, you know, BS with us. And I'll make sure I bug Derek about, you know, seeing some of your fighters on that card.
Sounds good. I appreciate it.
Hey, you guys have a wonderful night. Thank you so much.
All right. Love you guys.
Once again, everybody, that was Redneck Militia, Stephen Ween, Keith Hutchins. You guys can find them on Facebook. These guys are legitimate, top quality. You guys get out there and support these fighters anytime they're at a local event. You guys see them there, man, go up, get an autograph, go up and say hi, you know, go up, get your picture taken with them. But these guys are the good guys, man. Let's get out and support these guys. You know, hey, especially if you feel you're generous, man, go out and buy some wraps, donate them to them or any local gym in your area. You know, go buy some kids some gloves or, you know, get them a mouth guard. You know, support local MMA. You know, take just one Zuffa pay-per-view, $44.95. I guarantee you can go out and you can get a lot of different gear for an amateur. Just donate it to them. Go donate it to a gym. You know, go buy, a used punching bag at a garage sale that's in great shape and donate it to a local gym, you know, or a local fighter. Get out and support local MMA. That's what this show is about. That's what this whole company's about. And tonight, this was a good example, man. Callers from all across the United States calling in to support local MMA in every possible fashion, from management, fighters, sponsors, fans. That's what we're here for, folks. Miss Caitlin, Mr. Sam, what do you guys got anything you want to say before we wrap this up and call it a show?
Yeah, I got something to say.
What you got to say?
Well, Michael James just retweeted my radio show, just so everybody knows how cool Cage Fire Radio is. Little Michael James just retweeted the show. So, props to me. I'm pretty much dying right now because it's the coolest thing ever.
I will give you props on that.
What makes you so mad?
I'm not even going to mention who it is, but I've seen somebody tweet Dana White or anybody, like these people tweet UFC fighters and they get tweet backs and they're not fans. They're not fans. They're only in it because of, like, their friends or their ex-boyfriends or, you know, whatever. And they get these tweets back. And I'm always like, yo, you rock, man. And nothing.
You're a loser. That's because me and the Michael James are homies.
We've
talked, like, 4 times on Twitter, and he pretty much knows I'm a super fan. So you can just, yeah.
I will give you props on that because I guarantee you Michael James has probably got 50,000 followers or more.
Legit, right? Right?
Dude, that's legit. Okay, girl, that's big props, man. That would
be
like
okay.
Bada Hari.
Thank you.
You know, that is, if Bada Hari was to retweet one of my, what am I talking about? Dewey Cooper. I made a comment about a fight, and Dewey Cooper was the first one to step in and say, this man Skip is 100% right, and I about pissed my pants. I was like, the legend himself of K1 said I was right. So I know how you feel.
Yeah,
I
just so you know,
like
Michael James has 66,800 followers, so 66,800 followers. Just saw our radio show. Props to this homie. So
that's
just
why
saying.
I told you you need to get your booty on to making yourself a Twitter account for Cage Fire.
I know. I'm just gonna. Yep.
Yeah,
and
so you know.
Okay.
Sam, Caitlin, you guys know we have mad love for BrawlBase.com, ClinchCustomMouthGuards@GetClinched.com, BrawlBase@BrawlBase.com, and MMAMadhouse@MMAMadhouse.com. All three of those sponsors are great sponsors for this show and for local MMA all across the country. You guys, if you guys got nothing else to say, man, I'll call it a night.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm great.
Okay,
no, I'm good.
We'll
follow me on Twitter.
Follow Sam on Twitter @SeaMonster. Follow Caitlin I'm going to try to do this right, girl, but I don't know if I'm going to get it right. CaaITTLLIN.
Yeah, double N. You're golden. You're golden. There you go.
Okay.
Or follow
guys,
me on Madhouse. Read my articles. Read my stuff. It's super cool.
Go like our fan page.
Dude, you know what's funny is we got Michael Lawson on tomorrow night's show for Madhouse Live, and he's one of those guys in the Midwest, the promoter who just loves your articles. I mean,
really?
This guy, yeah, dude, like every one of your articles, he seems to retweet it. He loves your stuff.
Awesome. That's awesome. I should call
him
tomorrow.
Well, dude, it's going to be a crazy show tomorrow night. I'm super excited. So, yeah, you guys, if you're bored and you're around, man, check it out. Everybody, hold on a second. You guys talk to
paused.
Oh, all right then. I guess is he on pause or did he just mute himself?
Don't know. He probably did. He's probably talking to somebody right now.
Legit though, Sam. Can you believe Michael James retweeted me?
I can because he's retweeted.
You're so jelly,
before.
Huh? This is the one time I'll ever say jelly, and it's totally worth it.
Well, Michael James is awesome, but I'm not a super fan. I'm not a big football. I mean, yeah, I root for the Ducks. I have an NFL, like, in quotations, a favorite
NFL.
Him
and I are homies. I'm not even kidding. Like, we're homies.
Hey, Miss Caitlin.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of fans, you have a fan calling in. I'm going to bring this gentleman. He's on live now. Matt,
okay.
Are you there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you're on live with Caitlin if you want to ask her.
Hi, Caitlin. I understand that you're new to the whole MMA scene, you got less than a year in.
Yeah.
And I was wondering what the biggest insight that you have for somebody that is just kind of getting into the whole MMA scene, what to look for, what big insights that you might have.
Well, really quick, what was your name? I didn't hear it right.
Yeah, this is Matt.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess the biggest insight I would bring is, since I am very new to it, going into this sport, like, I would say probably at the beginning of the year, I didn't follow a single anything on MMA, not one thing. I was like, that's gross, like there's blood everywhere. I don't want a single part of that, okay? And actually, my sister, she was a promoter, and she talked me into going to one of her shows. And finally, I talked myself into going to one of them. I was like, I told myself, you know, you just have to accept the fact that two people are beating each other up, basically. So I went, and I went to my first show. And if you saw on my very first article I wrote, I was kind of traumatized actually seeing two people just wanting to go into the cage to beat each other up. But then I'd say the biggest turning point for me at the shows was right before the fight and right after the fight. Because people talk about Kodak moments, and definitely those are before the fight and after the fight. Because you see those fighters go back with their team and win or lose. The coaches are there for him. Their fans are there for them. They're there for themselves. They're proud of themselves. And, you know, in this sport, what I like best about the sport compared to other sports is how much critiquing there is, whether it be good or bad. Each fighter is like their own worst critique, and it's interesting to see them critique themselves and do whatever it takes to get better. And I think I think the biggest insight I have in this sport is definitely, I guess, just the newness to it. Every article I write, I have to do a lot of background research because I don't want to sound stupid, I guess, in my articles and not know what I'm talking about. So every single article I write, I learn something new. And so I guess that would be the one thing that I bring. And also with women's MMA on the rise right now, it's really interesting to be a women's sports writer in MMA with it being on the rise. And so I guess that's another point of view that I bring.
Wow, that's an excellent response. So as far as the women's MMA goes, where do you see that going? Do you see that becoming as popular as men's MMA?
You know, I don't think it's kind of a tough question because I feel like at first it's going to be kind of like a fad. You know, it's going to come in, you know, Ronda Rousey right now, it's a big deal. But I feel like it might go into this dying down stage until they get more participants. But maybe like 5 years from now, you're going to see like a ton more people going into the sport and being interested in it. So I feel like it's going to be really big right now and like the start of 2013, because I feel like a lot of people are going to enforce the fact that there's women's UFC now and it's a big deal, but then it might die down a little bit, but it'll come back and it'll be really big in a couple of years.
I agree.
Do you ever see yourself?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's kind of like the women's NBA.
Uh-huh.
It was there. It was big for, you know, a little bit during the 90s, and then they kind of died back down. Everybody forgot about the women's NBA. So do you ever see yourself ever training and actually getting into the cage with anybody?
You know, actually, I'm always looking for a new story, and I'm always looking for something interesting and something I can give my insight on. And so for a while, I really wanted to do a fighter's diet for a week and find a good diet plan, not something too drastic, but something that I could try and feel the effects of and do my own personal account on it. And then I was thinking, I don't know, like I'm kind of a small person, and I'm pretty sure almost anybody on this whole earth could beat me up no matter what kind of shit talking I do. And I feel like I talk big, but I can't, I mean, if someone were to come pick me up, I couldn't really do anything about it. So I feel like for maybe a month or two, I want to actually try and get in the gym and do the training that fighters do, and again, do a story on my personal account. And I don't know, it'd be pretty ballsy to get in the cage. I mean, I give props to anybody that gets in the cage. So I don't know if that's in my future, but I definitely want to try doing the diet and the training and getting my own personal view on it.
I certainly think that an article by you where you've gone and you've done the diet, you've done at least a week solid of training, because I trained for a few times with Olaf down in Southern Oregon. I trained with him for like 3 days and it killed me.
Yeah.
I think, you know, from a female perspective of the training, I would definitely love to read something about that.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I would definitely, I'd like to try. Obviously, I'm in high school right now doing my senior year, and so everything's pretty hectic, but I'm thinking maybe the week of spring break or, like, the very first week of summer, go on a diet or get into the training when things start to slow down so I can really focus on it, because I know that being in this sport, if you're not completely and entirely 100% focused on it, you're not going to do well. It's one of those individual sport, like the only individual sport where you need to be there 100% or not be there at all.
I'm going to halfway agree with you on that. It's definitely partial internal where you have to push yourself. But like you were saying, like the crew, when somebody gets done with the fight, like the coach is right there, you know, helping and coaching the fighter.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely agree that, you know, partial one, but there definitely is an external aspect to it.
Yeah.
But I just like to say that, you know, you guys at Cage Fire, you guys are doing an awesome job.
Thank you.
I love listening to you guys.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you listening to it and listening to it grow every week, especially I know coming onto this show, Skippy really guided me because I was extremely nervous because I've never done this before. And I know in my first show, I definitely was nervous, and a few others. So I really appreciate your support every single week and listening.
And Matt, we've got to ask you the most important question. Are you a beaver fan or a duck fan?
Oh, God.
Well,
there's a right answer to this.
There's always a right answer. I'm going to have to say that I'm a big beaver fan.
Oh, man. I knew this was too good to be true.
I know that somebody's mom right now is happy as can be that she's
Yeah, well, you know
show.
What? We don't want her on the show.
Hey, Matt, man, anytime, man, you know, we do open lines. Feel free to call in and talk to us, brother. You ever have questions for the fighters on the show, you can always feel free to call in and ask them, too.
Absolutely. Well, I'm moving here next month, but I'm going to stay in touch. I'll be over in Hawaii, but I'll keep listening to you guys.
Awesome.
Hey,
thank
you.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. You have a wonderful night, guy.
Hey, you guys too.
Okay, well, hey, now that's the way we top a show, man. Watching Caitlin get interviewed by a caller. Now, you can't top a show better than that. And then him just turn around and say,
then they go around and they throw me under the bus, and like, that's like getting slapped in the face on your own show, man. Man, you don't come on and interview me.
Hold on a second. Did I? Oh, okay. I think, yeah. I think that's a different. I don't know, man. There's so many people calling all night long. It's been crazy.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you to all of our viewers calling in.
Well, guys, we're gonna wrap this up. Sam, you got any shout-outs you want to give out before we get out of here?
Sure. Hold on a second. Hold on.
I'm probably, Carson Cooper, Matija Weeks, Scott the Titan, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. I can't wait to get my guard and get punched in the face with it. Madhouse for sponsoring me, PGTV. You guys should go all check it out. Go on Facebook, like my Sea Monster page. We give stuff away. I do vlogs. I guess I'm really funny at times. I show my weird belly button, and I don't know. I'm willing to do anything. So if you guys go write really drastic things for me to do in a vlog, I'll most likely do it. Follow me on Twitter at SeaMonsterMMA. Help me get a retweet by a famous person, because that's never happened to me before.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah. I mean, I like I said in my vlog, you can follow me on Twitter and I'll try to be funny, but I'm not really funny. So, yeah. Caitlin, do you have a shout-out for Michael James, your other lover?
Of course. He's my man. I love you. If you're listening, because you retweeted me, you're the best football player ever, and I love you. But other than that, all things aside, I guess my shout-out would be definitely Madhouse and Skippy. Of course, Skippy and Sam for coming on the show with me. And I guess I'd do a shout-out to my mom and dad. And I'm probably forgetting people, but I love everybody, and I love all my fans and all my listeners. You guys are awesome, and I hope you listen the week after that. And everybody, happy holidays.
Oh, wait, I want to give another shout-out. I want to give a shout-out to anybody who serves in the military, any branch, National Guard, Navy, anyone. You guys are all awesome. And I just had two friends that came back from basic, and I missed them, like, dearly. I've been nonstop hanging out with them for the past 3 days, and I've got one more coming home tomorrow, actually, and then another one coming home from the Marines. So anybody that's in the military, you're awesome. You have, I'm pretty sure, Madhouse is in Cage Fire's full support as much as mine. So just thank you so much.
Hey, Ms. Caitlin, you want to give some shout-outs so they can find you on Twitter, Facebook, and all that jazz?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe my Facebook is facebook.com/CaitlinDienny, I think, D-I-E-N-I, and the correct way of spelling Caitlin. So, and then Twitter, it's my name, every letter double lettered, except for the second I, and then you can follow me on MMA Madhouse, read my articles, or you can just catch up with me every week on Cage Fire Radio.
You guys, you know how we end the show. The only way to end it, we all going to scream Eagle. Eagle!
Eagle!
Good job, guys. Thanks.
I don't know why we're screaming that, but that's awesome.